Good morning, good morning. I'm just going to see. Awesome, thank you so much. Oh, it's good to be here. My name is Hanukkah. I'm one of the pastors here. Usually I'm back and upstairs at this time, but it's good to be here. And to be honest, we're going through the chapters of Acts, and when I found out which verses were mine to share today, I really kind of said to God, really? You're joking. Are you really wanting me to share about this? And let's be honest and vulnerable here. I don't understand everything either. And I went, when I was preparing for this service here, there were a few things through my head, like, okay, how do I start? Because that's always the hardest. Did you know that? Going into the Bible, I can do that, but how do I start? And God really put on my heart there, just be vulnerable and say, you know what? What I'm going to share this morning with you is there's two parts to today's sermon as we're continuing the theme of witness. The first part, I'm okay with, but the second part, I find hard. And we're gonna go through it. We're gonna go through this together, because I do feel that is what God is calling us to do as a church. Some of you know, I've been in full-time ministry for some years now, and this is my third position in a church, third different type of church, and I've seen a lot. And there's been moments that I'm like, I don't know, God, I don't know. What does church look like? Why are we doing church? I can have an amazing time with you in my bedroom or in my craft room. But why are we doing church? And honestly, Westview, I think today's message, I hope I can relay God's message to you, because I feel that is part of why we do church, why we are church. So let's pray before we go into the scripture. Oh, Father, Lord, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you for being present. Thank you that we can feel your presence through the worship songs we just sang. And Lord, as we continue worshiping with reading your word, my prayer is that each one of us this morning will open their hearts and will open their ears to what you have for them. There's so much in this passage, and I know that I've been confronted with it, and I just pray that this morning you will confront all of us with it, because it's your word, and your word is truth. It is the truth that we stand on, and Lord, I pray that you will lead this morning and that you will open people's hearts to hear what you want them to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing chapter 9. We're kind of finishing it today. And so if you have your Bibles or your apps, whatever you use to read your Bible, we're going to go to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 36. This morning, I'm going to read from my NIV. So chapter 9, Acts. Verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. We start immediately in the story with learning about Dorcas or Tabitha. Now, why are we hearing these two names? Well, the interesting part, Luke, who wrote Acts, was writing to not just the Hebrew or Aramaic people, but also to those that are speaking Greek. And in that time, in Jesus' time, names are super important. I know we kind of lost that. We lost in our North American and some of us in our European countries, we lost the value of name. And I know some of you here are from Nigeria, other parts of the country, and you know how valuable a name is. And in this case, we see that this name is super valuable, and that's why Luke, the writer of Acts, makes sure he puts that there. But what does that mean for us? Because we don't understand what Dorcas or Tabitha means. Well, Dorcas, Tabitha, means gazelle. And gazelle was meant as beautiful, graceful. Already, the story starts with Dorcas, a beautiful, graceful person. And we know how graceful and beautiful she is because as soon as she fell sick and died, it was kind of like a hole in the community. People wept. Why? Because they lost someone that they cared so much for. They lost someone who was kind and who helped the poor. There's some different translations. You can read some other verses of how it's said. It says in verse 36, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Or in ESV, full of good works and acts of charity. Dorcas, Tabitha, a beautiful, graceful woman who died. It was a huge loss for the people around her. Now, you might ask these questions. I know I have. Such a beautiful, kind person who did so much in the community, who was not just doing good things, but also had an amazing character. Why did she die? Why did God let her die? I don't know if that's the right question, but I know we have those questions. Does she deserve to die? She was only doing an amazing job in her community. Why? Why, God? Why? I don't know. I don't have those answers. And I know some of you are struggling with those answers right now with loved ones that you have had to lose. But I do know one thing. The Bible is very clear that death is an enemy. For instance, we can see in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 to 26, and I would really encourage you to read that whole chapter. We're trying to memorize this one in our staff group. It's a lot. But verse 26, for he, which is Jesus, must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Westview, do you hear that? Death is an enemy. Now let's go back to Dorcas. Dorcas dies. She's getting ready to be buried because in that time, the burial has to happen fast because of the climate they live in. But the believers, the disciples, hear about Peter. Peter being in a town very close by, it's kind of as if we're here in the Northwest and Peter is in the south of Calgary. That kind of was the distance between Lydda and Joppa. And the believers said, you know what, let's go get Peter urgently. So they go. They go get Peter urgently. And again, why? Why did they ask Peter to come? We know in a few verses before I started verse 36, we see that Peter heals someone. And that story goes and spreads, and lots of people come to believe in the Lord. Did they hear that story? But in this case, Dorcas died. She wasn't sick anymore. She already died. Did the believers go and get Peter urgently so that he could do like the funeral blessing? Was there maybe a hope for something else? Again, questions I don't know. But let's see what Peter does. Peter arrives, and he immediately is brought up to the room where Dorcas is laying. And he immediately is being greeted by all these people that just are grieving and mourning for Dorcas. And with added that, they show Dorcas the clothes that she was making for all these people. In other words, Peter, look, we've lost a loved one. Let me pause there for a second, because what does Peter do? Peter doesn't ask and see and say, oh, that's amazing, that's beautiful. What he does is a crucial thing in this moment. And it's crucial because we know that the Greek word that is being used here is he sends them out, and the Greek word is ekbalo. And ekbalo is a really strong word for casting out, driving out. Very interesting. Again, if you guys have the chance to dig into Bible verses, these are little nuggets that you'll find. So instead of continuing and seeing what is happening and entertaining this mourning and grieving, Peter decides to tell them all to go out of the room. And then what does he do? He goes on his knees and prays. He gets rid of all the distractions and he fully surrenders himself to God. Now, even just that position, going on your knees, it's a surrender. It's huge what Peter does here. He kneels down, he prays, and then he says, he looks at Tabitha or Dorcas and he says, Tabitha, get up. Again, a lot of questions. What did he pray about? What did God tell him to do? I don't know, but somehow God told him to go and look at Dorcas and tell her to get up. But he first seeked God's face to know what to do. Now we read at the end of this chapter in verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Hold that thought. Let's go back to Peter. Peter comes into the room. He kneels. He surrenders himself fully to God. I don't know what went through his head. It doesn't say here. But here's one thing I do know. If we go look at the Bible, we do know a story. And the funny thing is that I shared with you that story about 2 years ago, where Jesus took 3 disciples into the home of Jairus, however you say that, because his little daughter had died. And in that moment, when Jesus took the 3 disciples, which Peter was one of the 3, they came into that room, and Jesus raised the little girl from the dead. Did that go through Peter's head? Say, I've seen Jesus do it. Maybe. Again, what are some things I do know? If I look at Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, I know what God, Jesus taught his disciples. He taught his disciples to preach the kingdom of heaven is near. And what does that mean, preach the kingdom of heaven is near? It means heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And we know from the Bible that this is not only the teaching that Jesus gave his 12 disciples, he also does it later with the 72. And then let's go a bit further. When just before Jesus ascends to heaven, most of us know this passage really well, Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, name the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't stop there. It goes on and says, and teach them all that I have commanded you. Well, one of the things he's commanded them to do is preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. What does that mean? Again, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, cast out demons. Westview, church, are we doing these things? And I get emotional because here's the thing. We have told ourselves that we don't want to do this because it's scary. What if it doesn't work? Work. I'll tell you honestly, I have prayed for lots of people to get healed, and I have seen some amazing healings, but also a lot not. I even have been challenged to pray for those that were not necessarily dead yet, but were dying. I haven't seen any resurrection yet. And there's been a case where there was a little girl, a toddler, that died. She was in a coma. And we prayed as a church, we prayed. And I just felt that God would not let her die. But he did. It happened. And we don't know why. We don't understand why. And this is the part of the surrendering to God. Do I understand? No. Is there maybe more to the story? Yes. Most likely, yes. But I do know this. We are called to preach that the kingdom of God is near. As a church, we are called to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Because Jesus has freely given it to us. We see that in this case, when Dorcas is raised from the dead, that this sign of a miracle spread out very quickly. And what happened? People came to believe in the Lord. It doesn't say anywhere that they sought for more miracles or more signs and wonders, or that they even started worshiping Peter because he did something. No, it says they worshiped God. And a few verses before that too, when Peter healed, again, a name I can't pronounce, Aeneas, in the first few verses, it again says in verse 35, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, the person who got healed, and turned to the Lord. The miracle, the sign, was there to show who God was. As we're in this sermon series of witness, I think there's two types of witness we can see in this passage. The first one is Dorcas, or Tabitha, a beautiful, graceful woman who had a really kind character. And with that, she was known. She was known to be kind. She was known to be generous. She was known to use her gifts and talents for the community that she lives in. The second witness we see here is the miracle. God brought someone to life. The sign, the miracle, became the witness of God's love and goodness. Sometimes we're afraid. There's fear, and we'll get in sec to that. But I can tell you, Westview, I have seen miracles. I've seen it been misused too, yes. But those times that God showed up and he did something amazing in someone's life, wow, what a testimony of God's love and goodness. For them, for those that were witnessing, for those that were hearing. And we see that here again with Dorcas. A miracle like this was pointing to God. It was creating that excitement of being alive in Christ. Now, what do these verses mean for us? What can we learn from this? What about me, or what about being a witness for Jesus? Well, maybe it is starting by, like Dorcas, having a positive impact in your surrounding where you are at. Think about this. All of you are in different places in all over Calgary and maybe outside of Calgary. What would happen if you all would be the Jesus follower that God asked you to be in the places that you are? I'm a visual person. I would see Calgary and I would see all of you Westview people and all of you believers here, because it's not just Westview. We have so many more churches and believers in the city. And what if they all shared this love? And how amazing would that be, like going through Calgary? I remember working in, so I'm from the Netherlands, or technically I'm a missionary kid, so I'm from everywhere, but in the Netherlands before I came here, and I was working in schools, and I would go to different schools to help with teachers and kids that had some learning disabilities. And I remember one school specifically, after a year or two that I was there and coming in and out of that school, at one point a school counselor goes, "Hanneke, you're a Christian, aren't you?" And I'll never forget that comment. Because for me, it was like, wow, I never talked about God because I wasn't allowed to unless someone asked me to. It was a public occupation, a government job. I wasn't allowed to, but she saw something and she said, it wasn't even a question. It was kind of a statement of, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And for me, that was huge because it showed me that it's not just about what we say, but it's also how we act, how we treat other people, how we give hope and love. And honestly, guys, all of you can do that. What if we could make a difference, just like Dorcas did, by our character? And maybe even by the gifts and talents God gave you. God put you in a place because God put you there. That's not random. It is a place where you are meant to be. That means you are meant to be shining God's love there. How are you doing that? And what about Peter? What can we learn from Peter? I think first of all is the humbly seeking God's face. Peter got rid of his distractions. Now, this is a challenging one, because if you look at here, I'm a person, I would go into this room and I probably would be, "Oh yeah, that's beautiful. Oh yeah, oh, I'm so sorry, how are you doing?" I would be all with the people. But that's not what God was asking Peter right now. He was telling Peter, get rid of all the distractions, which were people in this case. God did not want him at this point to lean into what was happening around him. God wanted him to only focus on him, on God. So Peter had to get rid of the distractions, and he had to first see God's face, and he went on his knees. Westview, when you're desperately seeking God's face, go on your knees. I think it's an act we sometimes forget. let's surrender ourselves 100% to God. Let's seek his face for the answer that is at that point asking a question. And in this case, in Dorcas's case, God did not want death to be the final word for Dorcas. God had something else planned, and he wanted Peter to be part of this. Westview, this is the exciting part of being a Christ follower. God wants us to participate with him in things that are happening around us. And the only way you know what God is inviting you in to participate is you to seek God's face and to get rid of distractions. The last thing I want to say about what we see about being a witness for Jesus is this. The third one. Let God be God. And that might sound a bit weird. Again, English is not necessarily my first language, so maybe it sounds weird for you. But what I mean with that is, let God do what he wants to do. Don't come in his way. Just ask him, what do you want me to do here? Friends, when God shows up, things happen. And I know something huge happened here for Dorcas. And sometimes it's just a huge thing inside our heart that only you here know about. And God, maybe that's where it starts. How can we let God be God? Signs and miracles, healing people, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, cleanse the leper. What does that look like for you and me today? There's only one thing I do know, is that those signs and wonders, when they happen, they always glorify God. Don't go seeking for signs and wonders. Go seeking for Christ, for Jesus' face, and let him show up. We all know the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The questions that I have for you, and we'll have some time at the end to reflect on some of these questions. I know we normally do ask and response, and or Q and her question and response. And I know Tyler said yes last week that I would do it, but however, you can still do it, but then email it. We're going to go have some reflection time instead of doing Q and R, but that doesn't mean you can't ask questions. I would love to answer. Even if I don't have the answers, I would love to have a conversation. But what are some of the questions for you today? Are we like Dorcas impacting our community? If I die tomorrow, what will people remember me by? Am I using the talents and gifts God gave me to bring his kingdom on earth to be a witness? Are we so focused on ourselves or on our immediate family that we forget to look around and see who God placed us with? Are we like Peter and seeking God's response to what is happening around us? Not letting our emotions control and say what we want to say, but asking God how to respond to what's happening. There's so much happening in our world today. I know for some of you, that brings a lot of fear. And yeah, if I go into all those questions, that brings a lot of fear. However, here's the cool thing. You're God's child, and God is the Most High God. Why are we we being so taken down by all the fear and by all the mess that's happening? Why don't we see God's face and ask him how he views this? What's his answer? You might be surprised. If you're here today, that means that God has equipped you with everything you need to be able to share God's love with those around you. So again, a few questions. Are we getting rid of distractions? Are we willing to fully surrender, even if it looks weird or uncomfortable? If I, on a Sunday morning here during the service, go on my knees, that might look very uncomfortable for you. But you know what? You're not doing it for the people around you. You're doing it for God. Are you willing to seek his face fully? And if that means going on your knees, then please go on your knees. If that means putting up your hands, then please put up your hands. Do we fully trust God to show up and do miracles? Some have maybe come from an experience where they've been hurt or seen it misused. Trust me, Satan would rather have you not even be interested in this conversation that we're having right now. But God does. And even if I don't understand everything, even if I'm praying and praying and praying for a miracle to happen, it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean I should stop. It means I need to seek God's face and ask him, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to get rid of out of my life of distractions? What am I missing? And I let God fully be God and let him do the miracles in his timing. Are we obedient to what God is asking us or inviting us to do? Westview, I know sometimes it does look scary to do something if you hear God's voice saying to do something. But I can tell you out of my experience that when you are obedient to God's voice, oh man, there's nothing like it. You get just so excited of being alive in Christ. And that's what all it is about. So as we're going to go the last slide, I think. We're going to have some reflection time, and in your bulletins, you have some space to write. There should be almost a whole page to write. Here are some questions. I'm going to ask the worship team if they are ready to come up. And during a time of worship, I'm inviting you to ask these questions to God. These are not questions for you to answer to me. These are questions between you and God. If you want to write your answers down or your questions or anything that you feel God is saying, write them down in the bulletin there. Let me pray, and then while the worship team is just going to have some instrumental, take some time to reflect on these questions or something else if God is inviting you to something else. Father, as you've called us to be a witness wherever we are, we have to admit, it's not always easy. We have to admit that we're broken people, and the only way we can witness is when you are there with us. And your word says that you're with us wherever we go. So how amazing is that, Lord? Help us to trust you, to fully surrender to you, And Lord, as we're going to have some time here to just ask you some questions, Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts. You will open our ears. May we hear your voice very clearly, even if it's discomfortable for us, even if it sounds weird or looks weird. Help us to fully trust you, because you're only sharing things because you love us and you want us to be a witness wherever we are. And Lord, may we use this time to ask and talk to you and hear your voice. Please get rid of all the distractions in our head around us and help us to fully surrender to you right now. And Westview, if that means you need to go on your knees, then go on your knees. Take away the distraction. Go on your knees, surrender yourself to God and ask him, how does he want you to witness where you are? What is holding you back this morning to let God be God? What are the distractions in your life that keep you from spending time with God? Do you believe that God wants to work with him right now, right where you are? Father, you're so good. You love us so much. And you have so much grace for us. And Lord, whatever you started in us today, may you continue the work that you've started. May we be the light in all the places that we are. That we are at, that you put us in. Oh, Father, we need you. We love you. Lord, help us to be alive in you. Lord, help us to not feel dead in you, but alive in you. Show us how we can be a witness to those around us. Give us courage, Lord, to do and be obedient to what you're inviting us into. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And one verse, I'll have it here at the end. It's a verse that I'm just curious to see. This is what Jesus told his disciples before he went up to heaven. He said, and we can read this in John 14, verse 12, "Truly, truly, I," that's Jesus, "say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." We just learned about some works that he did through Peter. He's inviting you to do the same works. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Westview Church, Jesus is at the right-hand side of the Father. He's interceding for us. He's inviting us to share and be his witness and be fully alive.